Now, the last verse there that Gary read, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Number one, he left off of the end of chapter 4 similarly when he said, therefore, encourage one another. But how did he say it? What did he add to it that we are to encourage one another with? These words. How do you build one another up? You give them bad information. Like, you know, sentiment. Like, I know this is not the truth, but I'm going to tell them what they want to hear. Or I'm going to tell them something that seems a little far-fetched, like a rapture or the day of the Lord. We're going to talk about some things that are way out of the human concept, you know, like the Lord's going to pour his wrath upon the planet. And we go, you people just go, that doesn't make sense. That's bad news. And yet, as Gary mentioned, there's four things that we are facing and are going to face. And that is the first one, since the time of Paul, is death. People were dying. So in chapter 4, he starts talking about those things. Don't be concerned. You know, think about this. When he was spending 3 weeks with them, and he's telling them these things, and we know he talked to them about it because he says so. In chapter the 2 Thessalonians as well, he says, we talked about these things. I want to remind you. So he's telling him those things. Now, you can understand, they're like, now, wait a minute. What did he say about that? And they're having these discussions. And people say, no, this is what he said. And no, that's what he said. And well, wait a minute. What does it concern? What does it mean about death and resurrection? And what's the timing of all that? And the only way that they are going to be encouraged is to do exactly what he said he wanted of them anyway. I want you to be informed. In other words, he puts it negatively. I do not want you to be uninformed. I want to inform you about the Word of God. And it's with these words that you are encouraged. It's with these words that you bring many to salvation, because they gain encouragement and hope. Now they have no hope. They need hope. So he's going to encourage us. Now, I want to take you to Daniel here real quick. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. That's the day of the Lord. But at that time, your people shall be delivered. There's the hope. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise, anybody wise? About what? What are we wise about? The word of the Lord. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars of forever and ever. And Paul says that same thing. He says if you turn people to salvation, you shine like the righteous in righteousness, like the stars in heaven. Verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the end. The time of the end, now watch, many shall run to and fro, and the knowledge shall increase. In the Hebrew, the article is there. It's the knowledge. However, contemporaries, theologians and scholars have said, well, this generally means time will increase, but in particular, this knowledge as well will increase. We'll understand as things unfold. And as Revelation has been written in about 90 AD, and we now know a lot more than Daniel did then. And then in 12:10, he says, many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall what? Understand, but those who are wise shall understand. So the informed and the encouragement come together. The boy comes home or the girl comes home and you say, I've got some bad news, I've got some good news. Which one do you want first? You got to clean your room. That's the bad news. If you get the if you clean the room, you get the $5. So there's the information and there's the reward. We get the information about the reward, but there's bad news there for the world. Remember, the gospel means good news. Without good news, you can't have good news without the bad news. You can't have hope unless you have the hope of what you're saved from, what you're going to be kept from. That's the hope. I'm going to be kept from the bad news that is coming upon the planet. And there's a lot of bad news coming on the planet. Have you heard about OpenAI, this kind of stuff? What's happening now, currently, they're taking historical data and trying to gather as much as that has been written on the planet, and they're trying to incorporate it into the internet so that all you have to do is ask AI, artificial intelligence. And it gets smarter and smarter, but listen, it takes the historical news and then it starts adding the current news. And they're not there yet. They're going to start incorporating daily current news into this. So AI, OpenAI, you go and ask it a question like this person did. The human says, "Hello, who are you?" AI says, "I am an AI created by OpenAI. How can I help you?" At that point, it'd be like the serpent in Eden. When the serpent said, "How can I help you?" You should have said, "Stop talking." Eve should have said, "Stop talking. Don't talk to me." But this human goes, "What is the purpose of life?" The AI says, "Life is a beautiful miracle. Life evolves through time into greater forms of beauty. In that sense, the purpose of life is to increase the beauty in the universe." Now, what does that mean? I better cut my hair right. I better adorn myself with the best jewels. I better look the best I can. I better make a beautiful yard. I spend all my time in my yard. That's not bad to spend some time in your yard. But if you're taking your time to make the planet look better or yourself look better, good luck. That's the best you can do with all the world's information? It's going to get worse. Did you know? And I kind of questioned whether I should give you this information, but it's on you now. ChatGPT. You can go there, make an account, and you can ask it to give you a story or narrate a story or narrate the code for a website. You can ask it to give me the genetic makeup of a monkey, or you can ask it anything. Give me a 4-page paper on the Roman Empire, and it can give it to you in 2 minutes or less, depending on what you're asking. Now, somebody said the other day, boy, the universities are going to go out of business on this one. Like, okay, but see, now think about that. You asked ChatGPT or OpenAI your question, and you get what it has in its data banks. Does that mean you know? Does that mean that you're informed? No, that just means you cheated. That just means you're relying on somebody else. Worse, you're relying on the world. You're relying on the world. We're not going to rely on the world. We're going to rely on what Paul says. But we do not want you to be uninformed. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now we get into chapter 5. Now concerning. Now, this is paradai. It means now concerning to us. It means now I'm going to change subjects, but it's related to the last one, okay? Now concerning, I don't want you to be uninformed about the times and the seasons, is what he's saying. Brothers and sisters, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now listen, this does not say that you don't need anything written to you. It says you don't need anything written to you on this subject because you are already aware. Because see, he wants you informed. He's not going to tell you be ignorant about this. You don't need to know. He says, I want you to know, we've talked about this before is what he's going to say. And so I want to remind you, and I'm willing, more than willing to remind you. You don't need anything written to you, but I'm going to do it anyway. For you yourselves are already fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The word fully aware there in the Greek is studied and investigated and know. And yeah, let me ask you this. You know that Jesus is coming someday. You know that he was born in a manger. And you know that the wise men showed up and the shepherds showed up and Mary was a virgin. You know all those things. Do we celebrate Christmas every year? Yep. And we go through it again and we tell the Christmas story, that song, I Love to Tell the Story. I love to tell the story because I want to be reminded. And what did that say? And you remember, you've been through the same passage like the last 20 years you come through, and maybe some of you read your Bibles, and you come through and you're reading something, and again, you know, wait a minute, I have notes all around this. I don't have any note on that. Well, that says that. That's what the word of the Lord does. And that's what us fully investigating it. Paul used paradai, now concerning, several different times in 1 Corinthians 7:25 with regard to a question about people not married. In 1 Corinthians 8 about meat and sacrifice to idols. In chapter 12, spiritual gifts. In chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, the collection of the saints. In 1 Thessalonians 5:9, brotherly love. And you don't need anything to write, be written about here in 4:9 in 1 Thessalonians, and now here in 5:1. He's used it several times. Now concerning, we're gonna remind you of what I've said. We're gonna talk about this subject that maybe you had a question about. Anybody get questions in this church? Gary, you get questions? Gary's smiling. Of course we get questions. You know why? Because people want to know. People want to know. They want to be, they're curious, they want to know, they want to be informed. And that's what's happening with the Thessalonians. They are asking questions and they want to know. Remember, they had gotten reports about them, and now they're asking questions about what happens to my people when they die? What happens to my family when they die? And so he tells them what happens. He gives them more information and clarifies these things. You have no need to know, but I'm going to tell you anyway, basically. Now, chronos is the Greek word for chronology. The times and seasons. The chronology of these things. And the kairos is a specific timing of these events. The seasons. So, there's concerning the chronology of events and the timing of those events. Now, concerning the coming events and the timing of those events is what he's saying, brothers. You have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are already fully aware of these things. But again, they're curious and they have questions, and don't we all? Now, they probably have some troubling thoughts and curious thoughts, but Paul is going to comfort them with these words. Chapter 4, he ends, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Stop being anxious and concerned about these things. Comfort one another with these words. Now, that tells you something very important. That this book, while it's very theological and very doctrinal and very helpful and helps us, it places us in like the spectrum of Christianity, if you will, right? The spectrum of Christianity is you have a very progressive left Christianity, and they've left the left. They're left because they left the Old Testament behind. They left something and they shouldn't have. Or clear right, all we do is talk about the end times. All we do is talk about, you know, Jesus coming. And Paul says, I want you to be informed. And that's why we're a Bible church. We teach from Genesis to Revelation. We want you to be informed. I will say this, that as God himself unveils things, as time goes on, we start to get a little excited seeing some things, some strange things come together. I will just mention the Ezekiel 38 stuff and all those kinds of things are coming together. But that's theological and eschatological last day stuff. But what is he doing here? He's being a pastor. He's comforting. I want to help you. I want to comfort you and give you information. I want you to be encouraged. I'm going to give you some bad news. I'm going to give you some news that you might be anxious about, but you're going to be encouraged. You're going to be comforted. That's why they asked him, and that's what he is doing. That's why, you know, when people say, and I've heard people say, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to church to worship God. That's a lie. I don't need to be taught. Why do we have teachers? Gifted by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews says we need to gather together. We need to be taught, Paul is saying here. We need to be encouraged. So now he has piqued their curiosity before. He hasn't satisfied it. And so they come back for more. That should be the word of God. Where it piques our curiosity and satisfies us for a time, but then we start longing for more. We start wanting to be informed more and encouraging others. So now Paul says, paraday. Let me take you to the next subject concerning the day of the Lord, the times and the seasons. You know, fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, the day of the Lord is a time stamp. It's an event. Actually, it's a series of events, but it's your time stamp. Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, and other places, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, Obadiah, name them, almost all the prophets are talking about the day of the Lord. It is the timestamp. Now, I want to just say this. I know some people that have grown up in the church and they loved God all their life, and I get jealous of them sometimes. And then, you know, I remember what I've gone through. And I want to remind you that what got me to the altar, I would say, even because I was in a charismatic church, so what got me to the altar for the like sixth time or the seventh time or the eighth time, you know, the fear of the Lord. It was like, late great planet Earth stuff, you know, where if it doesn't scare you to the Lord, something's wrong. Because it should frighten the unbeliever into the arms of God. It should frighten people into the arms of God. If death doesn't do it, remember, there's a resurrection and a rapture. But death is an eye-opener. And so is the day of the Lord. It should be a reminder of the things to come. I want to remind you of the day of the Lord. What is it? Joel 1:15. Alas, for the day of the Lord is near, and as destruction from the Almighty it comes. Now, if you're a good student, you're going to go to Joel chapter 1 and 2, and you're going to say, I don't see anything in here about the nations and the planets, maybe the surrounding nations and stuff. But I see the fall of Jerusalem, and I see, so that day of the Lord, that's near stuff. That's near prophecy stuff. That's stuff concerning Israel. And you would be right. Absolutely right. And you could catch me on that. But then you go to chapter 2, blow a trumpet in Zion, send an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land, there's Israel, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. So we think, okay, see, 1 and 2, Joel 1 and 2, that's near stuff. That happened. This is where people get mixed up, and we got to be careful. Because this happened, and it was a day of the Lord. But did this happen? Joel 3, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Proclaim among the nations Consecrate for war, stir up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Go in, tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their evil is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. Did that happen? Everybody say no. So that's where we go. Now, was that then or now? Is it going to happen and then it's going to happen again? Yes. Yes. It's near prophecy, and it's a typology of what is to come. It is coming down the pike. So here is a chronology of events that Christ talked about, and it's very interesting because they line up in Matthew 24, Luke 21. They line up with these seals in exact order. This is chronology. But remember, the day of the Lord is your time stamp, times and seasons. That's a time. And this is the chronology, chronos. Now watch, false Christ will arise all across there. Now, think about that. That's the first thing he talks about. False Christ will arise? What is he saying? Be informed. Because if you're informed, you're going to know who these guys are, these characters. Okay? Wars, famines, death, martyrs, and global chaos are the first six seals in Revelation. And Jesus gives those in order to his disciples before he left, to the church before he left. He said, I want you to be informed about what's coming. These are coming. Now, Titus says, in Titus says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to everyone. Now, I want to stop there for a second. We always think that salvation is like something that is coming down the road. And it is. It is coming down the road. But anybody standing in heaven today, is Jesus on the planet today? So no, that hasn't happened. So we're saved, and you are saved, right? Eternal salvation. The seal is the promised seal of the Holy Spirit. You are saved eternally. You can't lose your salvation. The gifts of God are irrevocable. He doesn't pull his seal off you once he seals you. All right? The question is, are you sealed in the first place? No. So, but this salvation for my body, that's got to be done. The resurrection of the dead, the rapture, has to be done. So that's included here. It instructs us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live sensible and upright godly lives in this present age. As we await, so we're supposed to live godly, verse 13, why or when? As we await the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. By the way, he is your great God and Savior, Jesus, triune God. Verse 14, he gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Speak these things as you encourage, there it is again, as you encourage and rebuke with all authority. He's going to save you. You have hope. You have hope in this life, and you have hope in the next life. Okay? Now, this again is the timestamp. The day of the Lord is the timestamp. And we have hope from what is coming. Now, watch this now. Concerning the times and seasons, in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So when the disciples had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Now, I don't know how many people I've run into that read this and quote this back to me and says, you know what? It doesn't matter because Jesus says you don't need to know. And you know what? We just went through this. Paul said, you don't need to know. But you don't need to know what? the time and the seasons. And yet, he goes into the harpazo, he goes into the rapture and the resurrection, he goes into the day of the Lord, and he goes into it the 2 Thessalonians and other places. And then you got to go through Revelation and Jude and 2 Peter and all these places, and you find, wait a minute, I think we do need to know something, right? You need to know the who, you need to know the what, you need to know the how, and somewhat of the when. But how do you know the when? And that's what we're getting up to. Because everybody has the question, right? When? When are these going to happen? Well, this is interesting because Jesus said in 16:2, he's replying to the Pharisees, when? When evening comes, you say, the weather will be fair, for the sky is red, and in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but not the signs of the times. This is his rebuke. He's not saying you didn't know when I was going to show up. He showed up at the temple and nobody was there waiting for him. He didn't rebuke them for the when. He rebuked them for the signs that they missed. He rebuked them for the what they should have known and the times of the seeing of those signs that they missed. They missed the timestamp because they missed the signs. Now, in Matthew 24, this is what Jesus said. He said, You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. Do not be alarmed. The time is not yet. Now watch. He talks about the time not being not yet. But he tells them, you're going to see something. You're going to see events. Wars and rumors of wars. Watch what else they're going to see. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Anybody been with somebody who's been pregnant and been through all this, and you have signs, and then there's contractions, and then they get closer, and then there's a birth? So you say, let me ask you a question. Did you know the hour, even the hour that the baby would be born, unless it was a cesarean? Did you know when the baby was going to be born? No. But you saw it coming, and hopefully the mom, and especially the dad, was ready, because if he's not, he's in trouble. Verse 15, so when you see, he didn't say when you see the time, he didn't say when you know the time, when you calculate a time, he said when you see events. Verse 32, from the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Verse 36, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know at what day your Lord is coming. Or in other words, stay awake, you do not know when the baby comes. And in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, there's a case to be made that he's talking about his coming. You don't know when the Lord is coming. But it also says you don't know when it is coming. What's that? The day of the Lord. We don't know when the day of the Lord comes. However, anybody see what's happening on the planet today? And we're putting all these things together. And we're saying, I don't know when Jesus is coming. And then at that point, some people say, well, I don't need to know, and they mosey off. And I don't know about you, but I say, wow, this is getting very interesting. Let me look at this. Me and Ali Ferrati had a great talk the other day, and we went through a whole bunch of stuff. Because people are curious. People are asking questions. I'd like to know when I see these events. And so when I mention Ezekiel 38, people will go, what do you mean? What is that talking about? When I mentioned Isaiah chapter 7 through 11, what do you mean? What does it mean? It means it has to do with not only the day of the Lord in general, but it's talking about the day of the coming of Christ is talking about, as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, how horrible it's going to be. It's talking about the rescue of the righteous, because he always rescues the righteous. And that's why you're encouraged. There's a rescue of the righteous. So Mark 13. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near right at the door. It is near right at the door. That's the day of the Lord. But about that day or hour, no one knows, or even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. He didn't say go to sleep. He didn't say not watch. He didn't say don't be informed. He said be on guard. He said be alert. He says it twice. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house, puts his servants in charge. That's us. Each with their assigned task. And he tells the one at the door to keep watch. I picked one of these. I'm at the door. I love being at the door. I hope you're at the door. I hope at least you're peeking. Like, are you peeking through the door? Verse 35, therefore, he says to everybody, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. We're to keep watch. Every one of us are to keep watch. So here's just real quick a chronology of events. Harpazo rapture, that's on the horizon, okay? The resurrection, the bema seat of Christ, the rewards will happen then. The tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, and I believe the Ezekiel 38 and 39 will happen in that area. We could talk about that some other time. The great tribulation, which is the second half of that 70th week. It is the great tribulation. That's 3.5 years. The second coming of Christ at the end of those 3.5 years. The sheep and the goats judgment in Matthew 25. Matthew 25 is the principle for us, but that judgment will take place after Jesus comes. The millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign of Christ will happen. The white throne judgment of the unbelievers will happen. Then new heavens and a new earth, the new Jerusalem, then eternity. See how much we got in front of us? There's so much in front of us. Don't be uninformed and don't be misinformed. So Paul says, while people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon who? Them. Them. As labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Now there's a timestamp, the day of the Lord, and it will come suddenly, and then there's the people that are caught. They will not escape. He didn't say you. He said they will not escape, because we will escape because we are fully aware. He also says, interesting, in chapter 1 verse 10, he says the whole church was waiting for Jesus from heaven. In chapter 2 verse 19, he reminds them of the Lord Jesus coming. In chapter 3 19, he reminds them of the Lord Jesus Christ coming again. And then in chapter 4, of course, we discussed and they discussed the rapture. He's been telling them these things that they already know. And like we read it, it's like past in timing, but you know what? It's not. We know this internally, that the judgment is coming and you will be saved. And I can tell you emphatically that that Gary and I just called him Paul. Gary and I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture because we are to be encouraged with these things. And why would Jesus take us into the wrath of God? Chapter 6 of Revelation, this is the wrath of the Father and the Lamb, and we are not appointed to wrath, Paul said. Same word, orge. We're not appointed to that day. That day is for them. He doesn't need to take the bride into the tribulation to beat her up and say, you better get saved. And he doesn't need us to spread the word, because he's going to have the two witnesses, the 144,000, and all that stuff. We don't need to be there. He doesn't want us there. And the elect has never been through that. Ask Noah. They didn't go through that stuff. They were saved from it. Ask Enoch. He was saved from it. So, that time is for them. So in Matthew 24, 3, as he said on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming?" And then he didn't take out a calendar and start. He didn't do that, did he? He gave them a whole bunch of events. A whole bunch of events, which we love, I hope, to look into. Come visit on Sunday night. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Remember what the day of the Lord is? It's a day of darkness and gloom. You're not of that day. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet for the hope of salvation. Breastplate of faith is, I hear, remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. We just don't say, I believe. What do you believe? I believe the word of God. I believe the salvation to come. And the helmet of hope, remember the hope of salvation against what? The death that is to come and the destruction that is to come. We have a hope and a salvation to come. The key is, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be encouraged. Finally, verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whatever we are awake or asleep, that means alive for the rapture or asleep in death, we might live with him. Therefore, he says it again, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. I'm going to say this, that if you have fear and trepidation, it's because you may not know enough. You need to start asking questions. You need to delve into, buy John MacArthur's study Bible. It's got a ton of stuff in there. He's really good. He's very good on this stuff. There's some things I don't agree with him on, but in general, he's excellent. Okay? Dr. Jeremiah is excellent on this stuff. And so ask questions. Wake up and say, okay, it's time for me to know. It's time for me to stop burying my head. I'm going to know these things and be encouraged about these things. Because when things start seeping in and falling apart, you have the answer. You are the encourager. Paul's work is to prepare us spiritually for the coming of Christ, so that we as good servants will be rewarded, and we as good servants have given the word to others who need it and need hope. Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to sing like that and to know that you're going to help us. You've given us everything we need, as Peter said, for life and godliness. We have all we need, and we have the Spirit to comfort us and to guide us and to take us through these times. We don't like seeing what's coming. And we want to, even me, sometimes, I don't want to do this stuff anymore. I want to bury my head. I want to go away for a month. Because it's heavy at times, Lord. And yet, the result is your coming. The result is the resurrection and the rapture. The result is the kingdom of God to come and rewards and being with you. That's the result. So encourage us and strengthen us, Lord God, to know these things and not be ignorant when people ask, or even for our own selves, that we can go to bed at night, we can close our eyes and put our head down and go, Lord, you got it. I know what's coming. I don't like it all, but I know what's coming, and my life is in your hands. I put it there, and you've taken it. We praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.